Namaskaram dear listeners and welcome to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, our series on Radio Sai, where every week we pray to Bhagwan to bless us with one composition that he loved to listen in the 60s and 70s, one beautiful melody that used to enthrall him and reverberate in the sacred presence of Prashant Nilayam in the yesteryears. It has been a wonderful journey since we started this series. Every bhajan takes us back in time to those beautiful moments when bhajans in Prashant Nilayam used to go on for 2 hours, 3 hours, and every bhajan would extend to 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and Bhagwan would be lost in the melody, in the symphony, in the pace, and in the fervor of how the bhajan used to be sung. It's our effort to recreate some of those beautiful moments. The bhajan we will learn today goes like this.
Sita Ram Naam Bhajo
So let's get familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan to begin with, and then we'll move on to the raga of the bhajan, the beat of the bhajan, and then also listen to what this bhajan is trying to convey to us. What is it that this bhajan is communicating to us, and how to communicate with the Lord through this bhajan? You will listen to Brother Bal Ramchandran, a former student of Bhagwan's university, sharing his reflections and insights. So let's get started with the lyrics.
सीताराम नाम भजो मधुर मधुर साई नाम भजो राधे श्याम नाम भजो मधुर मधुर साई नाम भजो
सो इट्स प्रेटी सिंपल लिरिक्स एंड द ट्यून ऑल्सो इज सो ब्यूटिफुल ब्रदर श्रीनिवासलु विल नाउ गिव अस ए डेमॉन्स्ट्रेशन ऑफ हाउ दिस भजन फ्लोस As Brother Anirudh follows Brother Srinivasulu, you too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G sharp pancham.
Sita Ram Naam Bhajo Sita Ram Naam Bhajo Sita Ram Naam Bhajo Sita Ram Naam Bhajo Madhura Madhura Sai Naam Bhajo मधुर मधुर साई नाम भजो मधुर मधुर साई नाम भजो मधुर मधुर साई नाम भजो राधे श्याम नाम भजो राधे श्याम नाम भजो राधे श्याम नाम भजो राधे श्याम नाम भजो मधुर मधुर साई 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 नाम भजो सीताराम
So that's how this sweet bhajan flows, simple tune, lovely names, beautiful melody. And Brother Anirudh is here to share with us his thoughts on the composition of this bhajan. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga behind this lovely composition?
Saram Vishu.
Saram.
When I hear this bhajan or when I sing this bhajan, the very first thing comes to my mind is how beautiful is the name of the Lord.
Hmm.
Madhura Madhura Sai Naam Bhajan.
Yes.
So, frankly, I'm not getting any raga, which is, you can...
It is just Madhuram.
Yeah, everything is sweetness. Like how Swami says the name,
yes,
is the most important. And it's sweeter than the sugar.
Absolutely.
There is one Swami's very famous padyam also.
Correct.
In Telugu, where he says Chakra Kante.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't know that padyam exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
But he tells the essence is like
sweeter than honey, sweeter than jaggery, sweeter than sugar cane.
Sugar cane. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So such a sweet melody, as I said, and the tune is also very beautiful and sweet, very soothing. So when I think of this bhajan, some 2-3 ragas come to my mind, but the very first raga which can be closely associated with this bhajan is a Hindustani rag called Jinjoti.
Pada sare ga ma ga sa re ne ga pa sa re ne da.
Such beautiful phrases in this rag.
Pada sare ga ma ga sa ma ga sa re ne ne sa da pa ra 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 re ka ra.
These are the typical phrases of the raga. It's very beautiful, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's so sweet.
And in this bhajan, that
Madhura, Madhura, Sai Naam Bhajo, Sare Ga, Sare Ga, Sare Ne Ne Da Pa Sa.
So that's where the beauty of Jinjoti comes along. Need not be exactly belonging to the raga. Of course, we are not trying to categorize bhajans where this belongs to this raga and other. All the purpose of this exercise is to just familiarize with the raga and know that such the emotions came from those ragas created by the divine musician Swami through many composers and legends. So, the closest, as I told you, can be Jinjoti. And there is a couple of other ragas like, may not be exactly belonging to the raga, but the notes can be taken from this raga. A raga called Jana Sammohini, which is...
Paraja suno mere parama kripalu parteshwara sai de.
Of course, you can get in more ragas like Kalavati and Devi Saima, many bhajans, Gauri Nathaya.
Hmm.
Whereas this bhajan has a flavor of those ragas and the Jinjoti. Whenever the Madhura Madhura Sai Naam Bhajo line comes, somehow the Jinjoti is something,
yes,
it's there in the corner. That phrases are there, beautifully interspersed and being composed in this bhajan. So that's what I want to tell about the structure of this bhajan.
Okay, I guess when we do the swaras, we will enjoy what adds Madhura to the Madhura.
Yeah.
That's the notes there.
Yeah, so let's take the first line.
Sita Ram Naam Bhajo Pada Sari Ga Gamada Pama Pama Gama Garisa.
Pada Sari Ga gamadapamapamagamagaresa
madhura madhura sai naam bhajo sariga sariga sarini nidapasa
sariga sariga sarini nidapasa
radhe shyam naam bhajo re ma 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 pa dha pa ma ga ma ga re sa
re ma 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 pa dha pa ma ga ma ga re sa
madhura madhura sai naam bhajo sariga sariga sarini nidapasa
sariga sariga sarini nidapasa.
It's very beautiful to note that just three notes, like
sariga,
yes,
sariga,
and as I told, it has a madhuram. The swaras contain the madhuram. And one more very beautiful aspect in this bhajan is the pauses.
Yeah.
Madhura, madhura, sai naam bhajo.
So this is a slow bhajan only, or medium we can say.
We can sing it medium.
Medium.
Because the pace of this bhajan can be something like, we'll have a demo.
Sita Ram naam bhajo.
Sita Ram.
So this is kind of medium pace, and since it has only four lines, so even if you take it slow, the bhajan duration is very short.
Yes.
Yeah. And the lyrics, whenever we take the tempo of the bhajan, we should make sure that the lyrics are clear.
Correct.
The beat should not dominate, or it should not, the lyrics should not get lost.
Correct.
In the
speed of the bhajan.
So, and the second thing, as you would have guessed, this bhajan is an 8-beat, which is Aditalam or Kehrwa in the Hindustani classical music. Short and sweet bhajan.
Yes. And there are other bhajans in Jinjoti?
Since it's a very, very Hindustani classical raga, there may not be bhajans composed exactly in the raga, but there are similar flavors.
Okay.
Like... another vintage bhajan which comes to my mind is
Radha Lola Ramya Suchela Rajita Vanamala Gopala Rajita Vanamala Gopala.
So in this bhajan, the third line
Rajita Vanamala Dasare Maga Sare Neda.
So it is something like
Sai Naam Bhajo,
where the Jinjoti essences.
Yes, and this is another classic.
Yeah. I remember we discussed about Jinjoti in the session of Radha Lola,
yeah,
as well, where we mentioned about Pandit Niladri Kumar's,
yes,
rendition of sitar. It's a very must listen.
Absolutely. And I mean, even Radha Lola is also such a sweet bhajan, even though madhuram does not come, but
yeah,
there is madhuram in every word of it.
Exactly.
even in the lyrics and the tune. Wonderful. No wonder Swami used to love these bhajans.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So with that, we are done discussing the lyrics of the bhajan, the tune of the bhajan, the beat of the bhajan. And now let's discuss that which is the heartbeat of the bhajan. Let's discuss that which will enable that this bhajan singing becomes a sadhana for us. And sharing his insights and his moments of reflection is Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who had the chance to sing in the Divine Physical Presence in the 90s and even now continues to sing in Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, being part of the Sundaram Bhajan group. So here is the conversation with Brother Balram Chandran. Sai Ram, Brother Balram Chandran, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram.
Whenever I listen to any of these vintage bhajans, I cannot help but just reflect on how each one of them is so charming.
Yeah.
So all of them are short, all of them are sweet, all of them are simple, all of them are very charming.
Exactly.
And this bhajan especially is literally charming. You have the word Madhura, Madhura coming.
Absolutely.
So many times, and you know, that is the only thought that just fills you, isn't it? When you just listen to this bhajan or you sing this bhajan. There is Rama, there is Sita Ram, there is Radhishyam, but what fills your mind is Madhuram.
Exactly. And I think, no, they are simple, but I would venture to add deceptively simple. When I say deceptively simple, is because the impact that they have. Because you tend to think, oh, it's a very simple bhajan. But you know, you tend to judge the impact of the bhajan by its simplicity. But the impact they have is great. They can actually melt you down. And that's why they are deceptively simple, you know, in terms of the impact that they can have.
Yes.
I didn't even realize it's a vintage bhajan, and I'm saying this because, you know, we had the Balavikas competitions recently in Tamil Nadu, the Satya Sai organization. They have a beautiful practice of giving a list of bhajans which the children can learn. And this was one of the bhajans. I realized this because my daughter had the opportunity to participate, and I heard her sing this for the first time. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known this bhajan. I thought it was a new bhajan. So now the beautiful thing is, I think the next generation is, you know, these vintage bhajans should never be lost.
Yes.
So in his own way, Swami is ensuring
that. I'm so happy that, you know, it's the new generation has already picked up this bhajan.
Exactly. And they sing it with a lot of relish.
For us to compose new bhajans, there are so many beautiful golden olden melodies.
Exactly.
Which Swami physically has heard and relished.
Yes.
Bring them back. And Swami is doing it in his own way.
Exactly. So now it's you know, the baton is handed over to the next generation. Because there's one bhajan which was there amongst the many vintage bhajans. In hindsight, of course, I realize these are vintage. So, very well said. I think charming, sweet, simple bhajans, but deceptively simple.
Yes. But I think, even though many bhajans seem simple, yes, the good thing about it is, all of them can follow very easily because they are very uncomplicated that way.
Yes.
It's just namavalis.
Yes.
The second thing is, as you said, they are deceptively simple because even for a simple bhajan, even though there are not many technicalities involved in singing the bhajan, but if that bhajan has to convey a particular bhava, then even if the bhajan is simple, it may not be a bhajan where people will connect with unless you have poured in the bhava.
And to do that is difficult for the singer. So it's one more reason, very nicely said. That's why it's deceptively simple even for the singer. Because I may think it's a very simple bhajan.
You might think it's a very simple bhajan. What is there? You know, there's no need to practice this. You know, I hear it twice, third day I can just sing it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you will just sing it.
Yeah.
But neither you will connect with it nor will anyone connect with it because it is just for you one more song that you have learnt.
Yeah.
Only when the bhajan becomes a part of you,
yeah,
will you yourself connect with that bhajan, and only when you connect with the bhajan will anyone else connect with the bhajan.
Yeah, and if you don't do that, the Madhura will be missing from that bhajan. And this bhajan is all about Madhura.
Madhura.
So absolutely. Yeah. Deceptively simple, very nicely said, even for a singer. So just because it's simple, I think we shouldn't take the vintage bhajans, you know, lightly in terms of practice effort.
Yes.
True, very true, very well said.
Because I remember in the yesteryears, there used to be this group of singers, the two brothers actually, Ram Lakshman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you know, they had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan in the 70s.
Yeah.
And their father was someone who taught them music, taught them to play harmonium and sing. And their father was so strict, he would give them a bhajan and he would want them to sing that bhajan the entire year.
Oh, okay.
They would not be allowed to pick up one more bhajan.
Oh, oh my God, okay.
Yeah. So I remember even, you know, Krishnadas Iradi's
sir,
who's now here in Prashant Nilayam. He says, you know, he didn't know any music. He doesn't come from a background where they spent hours learning Carnatic music or anything of that sort.
Yeah.
But if you see, they are the only legendary singers who have lasted.
Exactly, stood the test of time. Yeah.
Test of time from the 60s till 2011 and beyond.
Exactly. Because they must have, maybe Raja Reddy's time, I don't know if they were there, but maybe they sang during that time.
Yeah, they sang during Raja Reddy's time. And
they sang our time and now they're singing with the Ashwath, yes. You know, the new generation also.
And Swami loved them. See, there were singers whom Swami loved to hear in the 70s, whom Swami loved to hear in the 80s. But once the students came, then, you know, the students took the center stage.
Exactly.
But Iradi sir is someone who always, his position was never
challenged. Absolutely. 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 So,
and he was telling that, you know, he's not someone who learned music.
Yeah.
He's someone, how they got trained into singing is, every week, they used to have Akhanda Bhajan in their home.
Oh.
So, every Saturday, Sunday, whole night they used to sing. So, it is just that they were just only singing bhajans. That's all. He told, I know only bhajans. Because that's the only thing he has done all his life, every weekend, whole night bhajans.
Okay.
And beautiful. When you do that, then the bhajan becomes a part of you. Exactly. Then madhuram comes automatically.
Oh, yeah. And maybe that's the only way madhuram can come out. Yeah. Once it becomes a part of you.
And I think if you see all our saints, you know, if you look at all our beautiful poet saints who have given us these immortal compositions, be it a Tyagaraja, be it a Purandaradasa. Recently, I was talking to Karaikudi Mani, sir. Guru Karaikudi Mani.
Okay, yeah.
Who, to my knowledge, and from whatever I have seen of him, to me, he seems like, you know, a Saint Tyagaraja of the recent times, of the current times. Because who, right from his childhood, has spent his entire life only in enriching music, only in ensuring that his music reaches the Lord.
Yeah, Nadopasana.
Nadopasana. For him, he's a Nada Yogi.
Yeah.
And for him, that is worship.
Yes.
The mridangam is the instrument played by Lord Shiva's Vahana Nandi.
Correct.
So he thinks he has got this opportunity, which is such a divine instrument, and his whole life exists only to ensure that he offers himself through music, through that mridangam, to the manifestation of pure love.
Absolutely.
So that is what is the life of Guru Karaikudi Mani. And you know, one thing that he mentioned, which really touched me, he said, you see how all these compositions have come. You know, today everyone sings a Tyagaraja composition. Any Carnatic concert will have the composition of a Tyagaraja or a Purandaradasa or a Muthuswami Dikshitar, you know.
True.
That is how we have this treasure trove that is Carnatic music.
Exactly.
And you have so many artists who have become so prosperous.
Yes.
You know, who have made their lives, who are leading such beautiful life in terms of being blessed with bounty in every way. How is it happening? Because someone spent his entire life only talking to God.
Exactly.
Someone spent his entire life only conversing with God.
True.
Someone spent his entire life only trying to enrich this medium which the Lord has given to communicate us with Him.
Absolutely. And they never bothered to register it as an intellectual property.
Yeah. So it is, says, you don't know the cascading effect, the humongous cascading effect of one act, one individual who has spent his lifetime only in trying to sing for the Lord. Look at, for how many generations, how many artists have benefited and continue to benefit
exactly
from one Tyagaraja.
So true. And I think that's exactly what the composers of these vintage bhajans have done. If you look at Tyagaraja in the context of Carnatic music, in Swami's bhajan scheme, I think is exactly what all these people have done. Yes. They have actually sacrificed, they've spent their entire life, like people like Airadi sir, Rajaradi sir, or all these people who have spent their life composing bhajans. We get it, you know, we get to enjoy the benefit of it today.
Yes.
They've done all the hard work.
So coming back to this bhajan, you know, Sita Ram Namu Bhajo, I think as Bhagwan also has mentioned so many times, and it is mentioned even in the Gita, that among all the types of tapas, the highest is Namasmarana.
Yes.
And Swami has told, you know, what was Yagnam in the Dwapara Yuga and Treta Yuga, and what became Yagas, right?
Yes.
What was penance in the other Yugas now has become so simple.
Yeah.
That's why they say Kali Yuga is actually the most opportune moment to be.
Exactly.
It is the most blessed moment because you never ever had such an easy way of reaching out to the Lord. We just chant the name. In earlier Yugas, they had to do tapas. They had to do yagnas. They had to do real sadhanas.
True.
To even have a vision of the Lord. And here we had Swami who gave us darshan coming to us day in and day out. We didn't have to even do anything.
Yes.
That's a beautiful moment, time that we are in.
And when would he come out for darshan? He would come out for darshan when we sang bhajans. So, I mean, you know, apparently it was the bhajan which was bringing him in. You know, the name of the Lord which was bringing the Lord in.
That's what is the emphasis of this bhajan, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know a bhajan is simple if you don't have to have a dictionary to understand it. That's exactly what this was. Sita Ram Nama Bhajo. Madhura Madhura Sai Nama Bhajo. Now, anybody would understand this. Radhesham Nama Bhajo. Madhura Madhura Sai Nama Bhajo. The only technical word is Madhura.
Yes.
And that is, you know, it's a very simple word. Madhura as in sweet. So, you know, when you talk of sweetness, what comes to my mind, or the sweetness of the name of the Lord, a beautiful composition of Bhadrachala Ramadas comes. Mm-hmm. You know, he has dedicated an entire song to the sweetness. He describes the sweetness. This song is sung in a different tune, but I like a particular tune because the tunes I've generally heard are very sad tunes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they sing a sad tune for a Madhura bhajan, but I've heard a happier tune. And if you think it'll be appropriate, I'll sing a part of it. He describes the sweetness of the name of the Lord. And of course, he talks of Rama as the man of, you know, as Lord. When for him, Lord was Rama. So he says, Shri Rama ni nama mento ruchira. Oh Shri Rama, how sweet your name is. Yento ruchi, yento ruchi, yento ruchira. How sweet it is. And then he describes.
Yes.
Kadali karjurati palamula kannanu. Patita pavana nama memi ruchira. Kadali Karjurati. Kadali is banana. Karjura is your dates. Because he existed in the time of the, you know, the Nizams and all those people. So, Karjura. Palamu, compared to those fruits. Patita pavana nama memi ruchira. Compared to all that, no, much, much more sweeter than that is your name. Patita pavana nama. You know the nama? I chant it. No, I am immediately free of everything. I'm immediately uplifted. Navarasa paramana navanita mulakanna. You talk of the Navarasas, you know, the nine tastes. So Navarasa, Paramana, Navanita Mulakan, you like your butter, you know, like different types of rice, which covers all the, caters to all parts of the palate. You know, compared to all that, how sweet, oh Lord, your name is. Shri Rama, O Rama. Shri Rama ni nama mento ruchira. And then he says, it's not just the humans who find it sweet. Sada Shivudu ninnu sada bhajinchedi. Sadananda ni nama memi ruchira. Even Lord Shiva, when he's not in Samadhi, when he comes down to lower stage, I believe he chants the name of Lord Rama, and that's why, you know, he was born at Hanuman.
Yes.
Yento ruchi, yento ruchi, yento ruchira, araya bhadrachala shri ramadasuni, yelinani namami miruchira. So it's just a question, you know, rhetorical question. He's saying, how sweet your name is. So imagine, he was going through all kinds of trouble when he sang this.
Yes. In fact, I remember that scene the boys enacted during one of the convocation dramas.
Yeah.
And Bhadrachala Ramdas is in the prison.
Yes.
And he's being served food that is stale.
Oh, yeah.
And served food that, you know, you would not feed even the dogs.
With an extra dose of salt.
And when the prisoners, the prison guards give this food, they themselves feel, you know, very repulsed and revulsed that how can we offer this food? Because this is obnoxious. You can't do this. But they give this food and they think, now what will happen to him? Will he eat? What will happen to him? You know, they're very sad because they have no choice. They are being ordered to give that kind of food to him. And Ramadasa, he eats that food. And then he bursts out with this song.
Exactly.
He bursts out with this song.
You're actually making me feel guilty, you know. Sometimes you go and eat in the canteen, you know, the good food served there, but you still say, this is not good, that is not good. And here you are at Ramadan, and this is very good food that you get here.
Yes.
Wholesome, you know, sattvic food.
Yes.
And here is somebody who is eating that kind of food and saying, Ento Ruchira.
Ento Ruchira. And Ramadasa is like, Ento Ruchira. See, what also comes to my mind, there are two thoughts. One is, you know, many times, when we look at the life of saints, they are going through trials and tribulations, you know, and we think, Papam, why are they going through this? You know, how can Ramadasa go through this? You know, he is devotee of the Lord. He is chanting the name of the Lord. Still, he goes through all this suffering. What is the point of doing all this sadhana? You know, if I have to stay in the prison for 12 years, why at all I have to, you know, do
exactly.
Build a temple for the Lord and all that? That's what you think that he is suffering. But Ramadasa is actually...
No, enjoy. Because he's protected against it. Because what instantly comes to my mind now is, you know, I believe in, you know, ancient Dakshineshwar, when a lot of, in where Ramakrishna used to be there, disciples were there around him, devotees used to bring offerings. There were some devotees who were not very sattvic, who were, you know, rajasic, and who earned their livelihood through means which were not exactly ethical.
Mm-hmm.
So when those kind of devotees make offering, naturally the person who accepts the offering, the karmic effect of it comes to, you know, naturally who accepts it. Now I believe Ramakrishna would not allow any other devotee to eat this. He would allow only two disciples to eat it, and one of them was Vivekananda.
Oh.
Because Vivekananda had the capability to digest it. He would not allow any of his other disciples to touch it.
He will not be affected.
Yeah, and there was, I think, one more person called Gauri Ma who used to be allowed. So, now, that's because they were, in fact, you know, protected. The antidote of the name of the Lord was already there. So, Ramadas was given all these experiences because he had the capability to bear it.
Yes.
Because he was immersed in the sweetness of the, you know, the name of the Lord. So, nothing affected him.
Nothing affected him. So, what I'm trying to say is many times we ask this question that, you know, they are suffering. But you think they are suffering. But they are actually in ecstasy.
They are actually in ecstasy.
You never know. And the most other beautiful thing is, you know, once Ramadasa starts singing this, all the prison guards, they forget.
Exactly.
they're supposed to be torturing him, and they leave their swords and whatever spears, and they start dancing and singing with Ramadasa.
And there I think, brother, Ramadasa is being an ideal bhajan lead singer. Because I think what you said in the beginning, if we manage to sing it the way Ramadasa would have sung it, you know, the sweetness of the Lord, then irrespective of what frame of mind people are in, you know, they must start swaying. And I think he's actually set an example for what a good bhajan singer must be.
Wow. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, even someone like that, the prison guards, who perhaps were hearts which were insensitive.
Exactly.
But they could be instantly transformed.
Yeah. And often bhajan is, if I may use the word, Swami's entry strategy. You know, a lot of people have come into the organization through bhajans.
And they were so lost. I remember that scene in the drama. This is a drama which Swami directed. You know, Swami saw the rehearsal so many times. And they are so lost in the joy of singing along with Ramadasa that, you know, the king ultimately lands up there and says, what is this nonsense going on? You're supposed to be guarding and torturing him. You're happily singing along with him.
If Shiva can get mesmerized. I mean, so true. So one lesson I also take away from this is that, you know, there will be tribulations in life, trials in life. But I think if you learn to immerse yourself in the sweetness of the name of the Lord, like Ramadas did, then maybe those things won't affect you. Because I think the trials and tribulations are inevitable. You will, you know, karmic effect, you will have your share of, you know, the snake and the ladder game. But I think if you actually immerse yourself in the name of the Lord, you reach a point where, you know, you're so immersed in the sweetness, you know, where you feel so fulfilled that nothing else actually really touches you. The entire world seems like a shadow.
And I think every bhajan that way is that armor, you know, is that ball of sweetness.
Yeah.
If we assimilate it, then, you know, nothing will affect us.
True.
Because just like, you know, nothing affected Swami Vivekananda.
Yes.
He could eat any food and it would not spoil his internal purity.
He would actually relish it.
Relish it. So I think it's like that. If a bhajan, the ball of sweetness that every bhajan is, if it... enters into our being, if it completely suffuses our being, then whatever life's situations may be, good, bad, not so good, bitter, astringent, whatever taste life gives us every day, everything will melt into that sweetness.
Yes. The beauty of these vintage bhajans, brother, if you see, there's only one idea in this bill.
Yes.
You know, they say a beautiful paragraph is a paragraph where there's only one idea.
One idea.
I think these people who compose these vintage bhajans, they've kept it simple. One bhajan, one idea. And Swami Vivekananda says, you pick up that one idea and make it the main thing in your life, you can achieve anything.
Yes.
They've been very simple. They've not complicated it by putting too many ideas into a bhajan. In fact, I think vintage bhajans can teach lessons to the lead singer. Vintage bhajans can teach lessons to the bhajan composer.
Yes.
You know? Made it very simple, very powerful. Only one idea per bhajan.
Yeah, and it has happened this way because they didn't compose it.
True. True.
They didn't think that, let me compose a bhajan with one idea.
True.
They had only one idea.
They had only one idea.
And
they had no idea where that idea came from.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is the reason why, you know, the bhajans today are bhajans which also should take us to that space, takes us to that space where we should have only one idea.
Yeah.
Where we are immersed in only one idea.
So an idea can actually change your life.
Yes. If that idea...
is this idea.
Is this idea. Wonderful. Thank you so much, brother. Really grateful to Bhagwan that you could come to the studios and we could do this satsang of immersing ourselves in the sweetness that he is. Raso Vaisya. Thank you so much.
Jai Sai Ram.
That was Brother Balram Chandran, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, a gifted singer, beautiful orator, and a precious instrument in his hands to share his message about how every bhajan can become a sadhana for us. With this feeling of surrender and prayer, let's sing this bhajan once again. You will now listen to how this bhajan sounds when sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashant Nilayam.
Madhura, Madhura, Sai Ram.
are now done with all the segments of this episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. We hope you found this program useful. For us, it is always a very blissful experience sharing these beautiful compositions and the beautiful thoughts that accompany these beautiful melodies. It's a symphony of melody, positivity, prayer and devotion. Dear listeners, please feel free to share with us your thoughts, your comments, your experiences. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. When we listen to you, it is like listening to Bhagwan. It is a sharing of love and doubling of joy. With heart full of gratitude and love, we offer this episode at the lotus feet of the Eternal One, the Most Beautiful One. So with that, it's time to move on to the next segment of Thursday Life. I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu and my colleagues Prem and Hari Shankar from the Central Trust are waiting to take over for Shravanam Mananam Nitithyasanam, our series where we deliberate on Bhagwan's discourses. After Shravanam Mananam Nitithyasanam, we will have a fresh episode of Vahini Satsang. Today, Dr. Sailesh Srivastava, someone who has lived with Bhagwan for decades and mentored generations of students in Bhagwan's hostel, will be sharing his reflections on Chapter 8 of Prema Vahini. So that's coming up 1 hour from now. For the moment, Shravanam Mananam Nitithyasanam. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.